turned our attention completely and wholly to the suffering of our Savior. For those of you that were in this class this morning, Jason reminded us that we are disciples of Christ and that we are imperfect and that we are unclean. The good news of the gospel is there is a remedy for that. We have a Savior. We have God who came in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, who bore that suffering that was due to all of us, who took the cross freely, giving of himself in our place. So as Clevin read in Isaiah 53, verse 12, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. See, without Jesus' death on the cross, we wouldn't have eternal life. Amen. And Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And in this statement, Jesus declares the reason for his birth, his death, and his resurrection. He did it to provide a way to heaven for sinful mankind. All of us who could never get there on our own. So God declared that all who sin will die both physically and spiritually. And this is the fate of all mankind, but God in His grace and His mercy provided a way out of this dilemma. And it's the shed blood of His perfect Son on the cross. So in Hebrews 9, verse 22, God declared that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, but through the shedding of blood, redemption is provided. The law of Moses provided a way for God's people to be considered right in His eyes through the offering of animal sacrifices for every sin that they committed. But these sacrifices, they could only provide a temporary covering. Every time there was an additional sin, a new and additional sacrifice was required and more blood was required to be shed. These sacrifices were only temporary and only really a foreshadowing of the perfect once-for-all sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And see, this is why Jesus came and this is why He died. To become that ultimate sacrifice, that perfect without blemish sacrifice for our sins. And it's through Him that we have that promise and that hope of eternal life with God. That hope that becomes effective through faith. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 22, it reads, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. See, Jesus' death and resurrection accomplished separate but necessary related things. The death and resurrection of our Lord are really inseparable. The cross of Christ won for us the victory that we can never have won for ourselves. Colossians 2 verse 15 says, having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. On the cross, God piled our sins on Jesus, and He bore the punishment that was due us, as we read in Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 8. In His death, Jesus took upon Himself the sins of the world, all the sins that ever were and all the sins that ever will be. And with the death of Christ, our sin and our sins become powerless to rule over us. And by His death, Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. And in His death, He condemned Satan. And He crushed the head of the serpent. Because without the death of Christ on the cross, we would still be in sin. We would still be unforgiven. We would be unredeemed. We'd be unsaved and unloved.
Amen.
So the cross of Christ is vital to our salvation.
Amen.
But the story of Christ, as Jason discussed in sermon, doesn't end with His death. The resurrection of Christ is also foundational to the gospel message as we know. Our salvation stands or falls based on the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as Paul makes clear in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 19, if Christ is not physically risen from the dead, then we ourselves have no hope of resurrection. See, the apostles' preaching was in vain and believers are to be pitied. Without the resurrection, we are still sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, waiting for the sun to rise. Because of Jesus' resurrection, His promise holds true for us. As we can read in John 14, verse 19, because I live, you also will live. Our great enemy, death, will be defeated. See, Jesus' resurrection is also important because it's through that event that God declares us righteous. Jesus was raised to life for our justification. There's at least three times in Jesus' earthly ministry that He predicted that He would die and rise again after 3 days. And if Jesus had not been raised from the dead, He would have failed in His prophecies. He would have been just another false prophet to be ignored. However, we have a living Lord. A living Lord that's faithful to His Word. The angel at Jesus' empty tomb was able to point to that fulfilled prophecy. In Matthew 28, verse 6, you can read that He said, He is not here. He has risen, just as He said. Scripture links the death and resurrection of Jesus, and His entrance into the tomb is equally as important as His exit from the tomb. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 through 5, Paul defines the gospel as the dual truth that Jesus died for our sins, as evidenced and proved by His burial, and that He rose again the third day, as evidenced and proved by His appearance to many witnesses. So it's impossible to separate the death of Christ from His resurrection. To believe in one without the other is to believe in a false gospel. To believe in a false gospel that cannot save. In order for Jesus to have truly arisen from the dead, He must have truly died. And in order for His death to have true meaning for us, He must have a true resurrection. We can't have one without the other. So we remember our Lord's death with the emblems that are prepared. We remember the sacrifice and suffering of our Lord. And we reflect on His body and His blood. And how He gave up His spirit out of incomprehensible love for the world full of sinners. And remember all these things, knowing that Christ died for us, and on the third day He arose, just as He said, and He ascended into heaven, where He reigns today at the right hand of God Almighty.